Bonjour, and welcome to Bon Appetit on Demand on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer broadcaster, Ellen Ward. I'll begin with an article from the September 2025 Food and Fitness Issue. As Good as It Gets by Emile Stanek. Salmon Nostrat's debut, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, made us all better cooks, but left her questioning everything. 8 years later, Good Things is a thoughtful meditation on what really matters in life and why we cook in the first place. I remember so vividly picking up Salmin Nosrat's Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat for the first time, sitting in the Bon Appetit offices in 2017, leafing through an advanced copy of the Chez Panisse-trained chef's debut. Curiosity quickly turned to a knowing sort of awe. Whoa, I recall muttering out loud, she actually did it. The it, in this case, was defying every commandment of modern cookbook publishing. Thou shalt develop 100 crowd-pleasing recipes. Said recipes shalt be adjacent to glossy photographs. Thou shalt pose for the cover, ideally smiling and having a casually joyous time. It was instead 480 pages of beautiful blasphemy, a painstaking, profoundly nuanced masterclass in the fundamentals of cooking, with recipes that were not merely ends in themselves, but opportunities to hone one's newfound skills. For those of us in the business of writing about food, Nosrat's book validated something we knew but rarely expressed. Recipes can only take you so far. This is how you learn to be a better cook. It seemed a dubious proposition in a media moment characterized by instant gratification, one that privileged one cool trick over patient interrogation of processes. And yet, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat was a runaway hit, bestseller list, a James Beard Award, features in magazines, a four-part Netflix series. Nosrat had a deal for a second book and nowhere to go but up. But behind the scenes, she was struggling. The book was her life's work, the culmination of a 17-year-long career. And now that it was in the world, she felt unmoored. My whole life was on a trajectory toward that book, she says. I was so focused on achievement for so long. And then I got somewhere and looked up and I was like, why? What do I have to show for this? I'm not actually full of joy. I don't feel lighter. She was diagnosed with depression, started two versions of that second book, each as ambitious as her first, and gave up. She even tried to give back her advance, suffered through the isolation of the pandemic and her father's long illness and death, a year in which she subsisted on watermelon and Trader Joe's frozen pizza. I had to ask myself, in the wake of all the things that I was going through, what am I going to say about cooking? The answer, after 8 years of soul-searching, is called Good Things, Recipes and Rituals to Share with People You Love. If the mission of her first book was to teach readers how to be good cooks, her latest is all about why anyone should want to be a good cook in the first place, a question that is as existential as it is practical. Not for the praise, not for self-aggrandizing satisfaction of a dish made perfectly, but because gathering the people you care about is essential to a meaningful life. At some point I realize that's what's motivating me, being around people, she says, and when I think about all the meals that I remember, it's not the food that made them memorable, it's the gathering. Good Things is, in many ways, a more straightforward cookbook than Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, full of actual recipes, a thing Nosrat swore she would never write. But at some point in the winding journey between the two books, she realized how much of her aversion to recipes was rooted in the same perfectionism she was trying to deprogram out of herself after a lifetime of fine dining. So much of my anxiety about recipes is trying to have control, she reflects. They have a pesky tendency, no matter how rigorously tested, to turn out differently in another cook's hands. So she started thinking of recipes as gifts, beautiful things you give wholeheartedly, vulnerably, and relinquish all control thereof. Good Things is a collection of such gifts, small ways that she has, over the course of a lifetime, brought joy into the lives of others, drawn them closer, and helped her understand how cooking fits into the bigger picture. I got clarity, she reflects. All I have is time. Time is a theme Nostrat refers to often, the dearness of it, how scarce it can feel, but also the way she has come to see cooking as a vessel for it, something precious made manifest. Cooking is about more than nourishment, she writes. It's a way to share what's most valuable to you with the people you care about. Nostrat devotes a whole chapter of Good Things to homemade condiments, components, and toppings, things like pickled chilies and preserved lemon paste, which require an investment of time on the front end, but make day-to-day cooking easier and more distinctive. You're giving your future self a gift, she says. These flavor-packed elements show up in recipes throughout the book, and Nostrat hopes that readers will start to see the pattern of how I incorporate these ingredients and feel more liberated to make choices for themselves. The story of tahini spagliato, spagliato means mistake in Italian, one of the recipes in her new cookbook, is one of frustrated expectations, shifting benchmarks, and learning to be kinder to herself. An apt metaphor for Nostrat's process over the last 8 years. She initially set out to make a lighter version of ranch dressing, but none of her countless experiments lived up to the vision she had in her head. I remember just feeling like I was really failing at this thing I had set out to do, she recalls. But no matter how much she insisted it was a failure, everyone she served it to loved it. The experience proved educational for her. When she finally listened to her tasters, she realized she had succeeded, just not how she had initially imagined. Sometimes I just have to shift what it is that I'm after, she laughs. I have to change the finish line. All of the recipes in Good Things, including zhuzhe kebab-style chicken thighs, are extremely personal for Nostrat. If I don't have a deep relationship with it, and I haven't made it a million times over the course of years and years and years, it wasn't going in the book, she says. The marinade for these grilled chicken thighs is, in many ways, a descendant of her famous buttermilk brined roast chicken recipe, but also a nod to the Persian kebab restaurants that her family frequented when she was growing up in Southern California. There's a deep, deep pleasure in sharing a thing that was a big part of my own childhood, she says. And in regard to the grilled summer salad with creamy miso dressing recipe, also in the book, Chez Panisse, the Bay Area restaurant where Nostrat learned to cook professionally, has a reputation for being fanatical about seasonal produce. And while she acknowledges that she isn't as strict as she once was, sometimes I make baba ganoush in January, that impulse is still foundational to her cooking. One of the things that will never leave my body is the way you get to look forward to something returning every year, and that it feels like this reintroduction, she reflects. This grilled salad, a tumble of the best ingredients that high summer has to offer, is one she makes every year, and it's also one of the first things she cooked outside the restaurant that really felt like her own creation. There's a pleasure in remembering how good it all tastes again, she smiles. Next, I'll be continuing with the Bon Appetit 56 Table Talk. Since printing our first issue in 1956, Bon Appetit has published tens of thousands of recipes. It would take literal decades to cook them all. So our editors handpicked the 56 recipes you must make this year, from weeknight-ready meatballs to an instant classic chocolate cake. You can find the entire collection on our website. The September staff favorite is Easiest Meatballs. Staff member Emily Ferris answers the question, why we love it. I grew up in a Midwestern meatloaf household and never considered meatballs a main course until I encountered Chris Morocco's recipe. They're now a go-to weeknight dinner that's nearly impossible to mess up and easy to make my own, depending on whom I'm feeding. The smart ingredient list packs in flavor, but requires no chopping, and they cook entirely in the oven, saving my stovetop from splatters. My kids love them with a simple marinara. And when I'm hosting friends, I punch up the spices and plate them over whipped ricotta with lightly dressed greens on the side. In hopes of having leftovers, I often double the batch with a pound each of beef and pork. Like the best family-friendly meals, they're even better the next day. The following recipe yields 4 servings. 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil plus more for baking sheet. 2 large eggs. 1 1/2 cups panko. 1/2 cup whole milk. 1 1/2 teaspoon diamond crystal or 3/4 teaspoon Morton kosher salt. 1 teaspoon garlic powder. 1 teaspoon oregano leaves. Freshly ground pepper. 2 ounces parmesan, finely grated, about 1 cup, plus more for serving. 1 pound ground beef, 20% fat, or other ground meat, divided. Warm homemade tomato sauce or store-bought marinara, torn basil leaves, and toasted country-style bread for serving. Place rack in top third of oven. Preheat to 425 degrees. Lightly brush a rimmed baking sheet with oil. Using a wooden spoon, vigorously stir eggs, panko, milk, salt, garlic powder, oregano, several cranks of pepper, 2 ounces parmesan, and 3 tablespoons oil in a large bowl until nearly a smooth paste. Let sit 10 minutes. Add 1/4 of ground beef and mix to combine. Adding just a small amount of meat first makes it easier to combine the rest without overmixing. Add remaining ground beef and mix until thoroughly combined, being careful not to overwork. Using oiled hands, divide meat mixture into eighths. Roll into 8 large balls and place on prepared baking sheet. Bake meatballs until well browned underneath, about 15 minutes. Using a stiff metal spatula, fry up and turn over. They may want to stick. Bake until browned on second side and an instant read thermometer inserted into the center of one registers 160 degrees, 5 to 7 minutes. Divide meatballs among plates. Spoon tomato sauce over and season with pepper. Top with basil and more parmesan. Serve with toasted bread. Meatballs can be baked 3 days ahead. Let cool, cover, and chill. Reheat an oven at 325 degrees or simmer in sauce until warmed through, 10 to 15 minutes. Returning to the food and fitness theme is the article In Your Gym Bag by Elena Chu. Proper hydration and nutrition pre- and post-exercise are as essential for building strength as any piece of workout gear. Fill your duffel with these editor-approved nutrition aids for a fuel you can feel good about. If you're working up a sweat, it's important you replenish not only that water loss, but also the electrolytes you're sweating out. Electrolytes is an umbrella term for many different nutrients that help keep water levels within your body stable. And according to registered dietitian Maya Feller, MSRD, CDN, the proper amount of electrolytes is essential for the human body to function. But when it comes to hydration aids, more doesn't mean better. Feller says a moderate amount of sodium, think 0.5 to 0.7 grams per liter, will help your body rebalance after moderate activity without maxing out on your daily sodium intake. And today, your options go far beyond Gatorade. A new class of electrolyte mix-ins have limited added sugar and come in fresh, creative flavors that would be right at home on a juice bar menu. Moon Juice Mini Dew. Moon Juice's Mini Dew powder combines the hydrating power of electrolytes with trace minerals that support a number of vital processes in the body. Think of it as supercharged mineral water, but tastier, in flavors like watermelon and pomelo. $44 for 30 servings. Moonjuice.com. Cure. A tight ingredients list means you'll get the boost you need with less of the stuff you don't. Cure keeps it simple with pink Himalayan salt, coconut water powder, non-GMO citric acid, and natural plant-derived sweeteners. If you're nostalgic for the fruit punch juice pouches of your youth, You'll love the tropical punch flavor. $24 for 14 stick packs. CureHydration.com. Buoy. Each squeeze, yep, Buoy's hydration mix is a liquid, not a powder, contains 50 milligrams of sodium. And rather than chugging it all after your high-intensity workout, you can add these unflavored drops to your beverages of choice throughout the day. $39 for 3 bottles, just at Buoy.com. Raising the bar. Protein powder, protein cookies, protein popcorn. No doubt this nutrient is having a moment as more people wake up to the important role it plays in building muscles, strengthening bones, and keeping your heart healthy. Feller says that consuming protein within a couple hours of working out helps to spare lean body mass breakdown. Tried and true advice is to get the majority of your protein from a variety of whole foods, but protein bars are the easiest way to fuel up on the go. ProMix Protein Puff Bars. ProMix makes supercharged treats for marshmallow and crunchy spherical whey protein puffs. So they taste like that familiar lunchbox goodie, but have an impressive 15 grams of protein and 5 grams of fiber. $32 for 12 bars. ProMixNutrition.com. David. According to Feller, most people should look for 15 to 20 grams of protein per bar. But when you're hitting the gym hard, consider David's satisfying, dense, chewy bars that have developed a cult-like following for the 28 grams of protein they provide. They're chock full of crunchy bits for textural variety and come in 8 flavors. Think blueberry pie, red velvet, and peanut butter chocolate chunk. $39 for 12 bars. DavidProtein.com. True Bar. This plant-based snack packs 12 grams of protein and up to 14 grams of fiber, which Feller notes is another important part of the post-workout nutrition equation. Plus, it tastes like a candy bar, with flavors like daydreaming about donuts, whipped for key lime, and it's meant to be chip. $30 for 12 bars. True Bar, that's TRUBAR.com. Snack Attack. Don't get caught hangry post-workout. For energy that keeps you going long after you've showered, Feller recommends a snack that hits on multiple food groups and macronutrients. Fruits and veggies can give you a boost of hydration, antioxidants, and B vitamins, while a classic PB&J delivers carbs, glucose, and protein. But hey, you're a BA reader. Get creative with your recipes and the containers you store them in. Planet Box Day Tripper Snack Container. This one's for the dip lovers. With 2 side-by-side compartments, this silicone-lidded stainless steel container is just begging to be filled with hummus and carrots, or pretzels and peanut butter, or tzatziki and cucumbers. You get the picture. $17. PlanetBox.com. Metal Lunch Pot Mini. These cutie cups keep your yogurt and granola separate, so you don't have to worry about your parfait turning into soggy gruel while you finish your reps. The pot is microwave and dishwasher safe. The lid, alas, is not. And the whole thing is leak-proof, so you can go ahead and toss it in your gym bag before you head out the door. From $17, Amazon.com. Clean Canteen Rise Food Box Family Set. Clean Canteen's Build Your Own Bento Box set is the ticket to ultimate flexibility in your pre- and post-workout nutrition game. It contains 3 different sizes of stainless steel containers, one for snacks, one for lunches, and one for bigger meals. The largest size includes an adjustable divider and the container's nest for easy storage. $82 at cleancanteen.com. That's CLEANKANTEEN. Now, commerce writer Elena Chu shares how a protein-rich dinner carries her through weightlifting workouts to stretching out on the couch. A 1-skillet dinner, my back-saving shoes, and the candle I light every night. I look forward to my early morning sweat sessions, lifting weights at the gym, and especially the endorphin-fueled glee I experience right after. I love feeling strong, and I love having goals to work toward. But to reach these goals, I had to start prioritizing protein in my meals. Any registered dietitian will tell you it's a key player in muscle repair, recovery, and growth. And sure, a protein shake comes in handy, but dinner is where I can make nourishing meals that deliver on more than macros. My spicy green as can be cod is citrusy, with heat from curry paste and fresh ginger, and comes together with minimal dishes, meaning I can spend less time cleaning up and more time unwinding with some mind-numbing reality TV. Starting my day with a tough workout and capping it off with a protein-rich meal leaves me feeling replenished, primed for a good night's sleep. Here's Elena's recipe for green curry coconut cod, which yields 4 servings. Green curry paste is a time-tested shortcut to complex flavor. In dishes like this, where it plays such a central role, it's worth seeking out a great brand. We like Masri for the quality and variety of its curry paste, that's M-A-E-S-R-I, each of which balances bright aromatics with different levels of heat. If you're using a brand of curry paste that is more mild, you can always stir in a bit extra at the end or serve the finished dish with a few extra chili slices. You'll need 1 tablespoon vegetable oil, 1 shallot coarsely chopped, 1 1-inch piece ginger peeled coarsely chopped, 2 tablespoons heaping green curry paste, preferably Maisri, 1 13.5-ounce can unsweetened coconut milk, 5 ounces baby spinach, 1 teaspoon dark or light brown sugar, 1 tablespoon fish sauce, 1/4 teaspoon diamond crystal or Morton kosher salt plus more, 4 5 to 6-ounce skinless cod fillets patted dry, freshly ground pepper, 1 lime, 1 red chili such as Thai or Fresno, thinly sliced cilantro leaves with tender stems for serving, steamed rice for serving. Heat oil in a medium skillet over medium. Add shallot and ginger and cook, stirring often until softened slightly, about 2 minutes. Add curry paste and cook, stirring constantly until fragrant and slightly darkened in color, about 2 minutes. Transfer mixture to a blender, reserve pan. Add coconut milk, spinach, brown sugar, fish sauce, and 1/4 teaspoon diamond crystal or Morton kosher salt to blender. Cover and blend until smooth. Scrape sauce into reserved pan and bring to a simmer over medium-low heat. Cook until slightly reduced, about 5 minutes. Lightly season cod fillets with salt and pepper and nestle into sauce. Cover pan and cook at a bare simmer until fish is opaque and flakes easily with a fork, 8 to 10 minutes. Uncover pan. Cut lime in half and squeeze juice from 1/2 over fish. Cut remaining half into wedges for serving. Set aside. Scatter chili and some cilantro over fish and sauce in pan. Serve with rice and reserved lime wedges for squeezing over. Next up, a bar of their own. Women's sports bars are booming and we're here for it. By Emily Block. A lively standing room only crowd gathered at the year-old Watch Me Sports Bar in Long Beach, California for an NCAA Women's Basketball Final Four watch party. Draft beer and cocktails were flowing alongside orders of chili, lemongrass wings, and piled high nachos. Then she walked in, wearing a green track jacket and pearls. Billie Jean King glided out from behind the bar. The renowned tennis player and longtime advocate for women's equity in sports and LGBTQ+ rights, and her wife, Alana Kloss, herself a powerhouse in the tennis and sports worlds, stopped by unannounced to sign a mural portraying King. "It was absolutely amazing," says Jack Steiner, who co-owns Watch Me with her wife, Megan, Emmy Eddy. They've since preserved King and Claus's signatures behind plexiglass. That is certainly a moment I'll never forget. Everyone started chanting her name. Diener said that was when she truly felt like her goal of owning a women's sports bar was realized. I was able to thank King for building our place, telling her that there's no way we'd be here if it weren't for her, she says. Gone are the days when a singular college women's basketball game is relegated to the sad TV in the corner at the only bar in town streaming the match. Sports bars spotlighting women athletes and leagues are booming around the country and expected to quadruple in 2025 from 6 to about 24. This coincides with a surge in viewership, fandom, and ticket sales across women's college and pro sports leagues. From food to decor, cleanliness to decorum, sports bars in general were not designed or built to cater to everyone, says Jenny Nguyen, who is credited with opening the first women's sports bar in the U.S., the Sports Bra in Portland, Oregon, in 2022. While sports bars have become more inclusive to women and families, few extend that appeal to include LGBTQIA+ and BIPOC community members, she says. Even with the rise in popularity, women's sports bars dedicated to them share similar struggles. For athletes, inequitable playing contracts and pay remain a major issue. Across both fronts, less media coverage and sponsorships mean it's still hard to simply watch a game. Women's sports fans have been an afterthought for so many years, and we're here to take up our rightful space, show out for our favorite athletes, and create community among fans, says Jillian Hiscock, owner of Minneapolis's A Bar of Their Own, which opened in 2024. Kate Moore, who co-owns Title IX Sports Grill, which opened in Phoenix in March, sums it up. To be able to see a game without having to ask for the men's game to be turned off is huge. Where to go? Rough and Tumble Pub, Seattle. A place to watch the big game while slamming a pickle Bloody Mary and a stack of buttermilk pancakes. If an NFL and National Women's Soccer League match are on simultaneously, guess which one gets the big screen treatment? Watch Me, Long Beach, a relaxed Southern California haven with beers from women-owned breweries and 25 TVs. Don't miss the mural featuring Billie Jean King that she's since signed, and Megan Rapinoe. Title IX Sports Grill, Phoenix. When Kat Moore, her husband Brad, and co-owner Audrey Corley built out Title IX this past spring, they got the community involved, asking supporters to donate old childhood trophies to outfit its trophy room. The result is a hodgepodge of accomplishment and celebration. A Bar of Their Own, Minneapolis. Opened in 2024, A Bar of Their Own jammed its walls with loyal Lynx jerseys and other memorabilia, while every screen plays women's games. Don't skip the tachos and kimchi carnitas, Sammy. The Sports Bra, Portland. Owner Jenny Nguyen nods to her Vietnamese upbringing in the bar menu, as in clay pot-style pork ribs. Nguyen is on a winning streak, expanding the concept to 4 cities, Boston, Indianapolis, Las Vegas, and St. Louis. Thanks so much for joining me today for readings from the September 2025 issue of Bon Appetit on Demand on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Ellen Ward, saying au revoir for now.